This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program, The Husband-Wife Relationship, with Dr. Ahmad Saqr.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومواله الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين. We are very grateful to Allah that Allah allowed us to eat and to drink and made us Muslims. And the more we are grateful to Allah, the more Allah will give us. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He created us. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us, remember that you are still soil and people will step on you. And we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made us a human being, not animals. If we were to be animals, to be slaughtered, to be eaten, metabolized, and defecated in the washroom. We should be grateful to Allah that He did not make us even pig or dirty animals. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He made us a human being, He gave us the title to be the supreme creature. And this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated the whole universe for us, the animals for us, the plants for us, the air for us, the sun, the moon, the planets, all for us. And we are for who? If we are for us, means we are parasite. And you know it from your background, a parasite is that creature that wants to eat everything and does not want to allow anybody to benefit from. To give an example, usually there are some individual Muslims, they say, Ya Allah, you are for me, please, Ya Allah. My wife for me, my children for me, the whole Muslim for me, the whole world for me, and me for myself, and I'm for nobody. I said, you don't deserve to live on this planet Earth. What we need to be, while we are grateful to Allah, is to have the concept of symbiosis. And symbiosis in biology means we benefit from each other. If we don't benefit from each other, why we are on this planet Earth? So I'm just reminding myself how much we should be grateful to Allah. Especially because Allah made us Muslims. It's not easy. Here, if you get out of Islam, people will say happy. But to stay Muslim, especially sisters, to stay Muslim in America is not easy for you. For us, husband or man, it's much easier to stay Muslim. But you Muslimah, with all the characteristics of a Muslimah, it's not easy. So for you are going to be credited much more than us. And for people like Adam, who accepted Islam, he should be grateful to Allah that Allah showed him the way. Why? Because He loves him so much. And He showed him the way. The other thing, grateful, we should also be grateful to Allah that we came to this workshop. Otherwise, why to trouble yourself? Go home. To go home, so what? Why? Still sitting from morning till now. Who? The rest of the Muslims are sitting in their houses or shopping center or God knows. You insisted to come here for the love of Allah. And for every footstep you came for, Allah is giving you credit for every footstep up, one hasana. Every footstep down, one mistake is being erased. And this is what I say to the Muslims, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And no matter what we mean better, still Allah is better. And Allah is more generous than what we are thinking of. And the more you think of Allah being generous, He said more. Because the source of generosity from Him, the source of forgiveness from Him. Now we don't need each other's, neither money nor wealth nor anything else. What we need from you to each other is the respect. And whoever is coming with a frowning face, please, this is not the place. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, وَابْتِسَامُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. And to smile in the face of other Muslims is a charity from you, it's sadaqah. Now, don't tell me that men and women are not supposed to smile to each other. So why we're here? Because the moment I look at any brother or sister frowning face, I think that I said something wrong, as if I insulted you to the extent. I want to accuse myself and say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What did I say? But there is nothing harm of smiling. We were told, I don't know how far it is true, it takes one muscle to smile. It takes 26 muscles to frown. When you are frowning, you'll have headache, neck ache, shoulder ache. Then you want Valium, you want Advil. So you psychologists and psychiatrists, don't tell them frown and frown and frown to bring them to you to make money out of them. Give them happy news. They will feel happy. Believe me, to a prayer, one single prayer, if one human being made a dua for you, is better than $1 million. God forbid if you have $1 million and you are sick, you cannot eat, you have diabetes, you have ulcer, you have all other sicknesses, what's the use of money? But if one human being is going to make a dua for you, believe me, it's better than $1 million. Usually I tell them in family counseling, after I finish them 2 hours, they want to leave. I said, what? You think this is free of charge? Don't you know I charge $1,000 per hour? Sure, I didn't know that. I said, because you are saying now, I have to charge you $1 million. Are you crazy? I said, no, I'm not crazy. I'll show you how you give me $1 million. Usually I give them the Salat al-Hajjah or Salat al-Istikhara, Salat al-Tawbah, how you wake up after midnight, before Fajr. When I explain everything to them and they are so happy and they are ready to do it, to solve their problem. And you have to wake up 1 hour before Fajr, you know, it's not a joke. And you have to pray 12 rak'ah, it's not a joke. And you have to bring tears on your face, it's not a joke. Yes, it's easy for you, sister, but brothers, no way. And I tell them, the brother, if you cannot really bring tears on your face, nothing. In the day of judgment, don't blame anybody but yourself. Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us, عَيْنَانِ لَا تَمَسَّهُمَ النَّارِ عَيْنٌ بَكَتْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَعَيْنٌ بَاتَتْ تَحْرُسُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Two groups of people, their eyes, because what happened in their eye, fire, hell will never touch you. If you bring tears on your face out of love of Allah, fear and respect and humbleness to Allah, even if you deserve to enter hell, He will tell the fire, don't touch. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told to the fire for Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was dumped into the fire, He said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. Allah instructed the hell fire, I mean the fire, to be calm and cool and peace and cool. So it's easy to cry for ladies, but please don't cry for worldly affairs. Cry for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you brothers, if you don't know how to cry, send them to make Umrah and Hajj and let them stand at the door of the Kaaba multazim. When they are raising their hands like this, like a criminal in front of Allah, you will find yourself, you are crying without noticing, without feeling. Why I'm crying, I don't know. And the moment you bring tears, that's the best, you caught the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll never go and in hellfire because you did it once for the love of Allah. So kindly cry as much as you want. I said, you sisters, you cry regularly. For that reason, you don't have violence. You don't have high blood pressure. You don't have heart attack disease. Poor we. We don't know how to cry. Therefore, we have high blood pressure. We have heart attack. And we die easily and soon. For this reason, they give us life insurance, and it is not for us. Life insurance through us, but it's not for us. It's for you. They tell us, come and have life insurance. I said, for who? For me? No, you don't give it to me. I want a life insurance to go with me to the grave. Nobody gives me, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We will be back after this short break.
For Youth Matters, Muslim World News, National News, Islamic Information, Muslim Scholars Insights, Business and Legal Advice, and the hottest debates on current affairs, tune in to IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network, the voice of American Muslims.
Welcome back to the Best Lecture Series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us three life insurance, go with us to the grave. Number one, sadaqa jariyah, a perpetual charity. You give me money, that's sadaqa, supposedly temporary. No, I want you to give sadaqa perpetually till the day of judgment. Masjid is a perpetual sadaqa. You cannot build a masjid by yourself, but you can share it together. So you can share masjid, you can share a hospital, clinic, orphanage, masjid, anything and everything that stays after we die, even equipment, you see. That's sadaqa jariya, will go with you to the grave till the day of judgment. علم ينتفع به, knowledge, that people are going to benefit from you. All of you are highly educated, but your علم in your brain, when you die, is zero. Who's going to remember you after you die? Your children? How about grandchildren? We don't know. Unless you build something. علم. Take the knowledge from your brain and put it in books or audio or video or CD or internet, world web, so as people will benefit. The last, أولد صالح يدعو له. A loving child that you raise with blood and sweat, who will raise hands after every salat 5 times and say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. If your boys and girls are not going to pray for you, you lost everything. Even if you have millions of dollars, money comes, money goes. But if you lose your child, biological investment, you lost everything in this world. And we have nothing left if we don't teach our children to make dua. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Even you and me, we should say it, because our parents who are dead, if they are dead now in the grave, if we say it, angels will go to them in the grave, هَنِيئًا لَكَ بُشْرَ لَكَ. You should be happy. Your child, your daughter, your son is making dua for you. You should be happy that you raise your daughter and son. So I hope after every salat we should say this dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Many times people come to you as a psychologist and psychiatrist or MD or a friend. You look at their face, gloomy face. Why? I'm depressed. Now it was reported through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, his house and masjid door to door. He opened the door, he goes into masjid. At 10 o'clock in the daytime, he opened the door, entered masjid, saw somebody sitting. He was surprised. Who is this man? It's the time of work, it's not the time of salah. He came to his face, tap on his shoulder. What happened to you? You look very gloomy. He said, هُمُومٌ لَزِمَتْنِي وَدُيُون. What does it mean? هُمُوم is a plural of هَم. And هَم means depression. Too much depression came on me. And دُيُون, too many loans. He said, I lost all my businesses. And everybody is asking me. What was his name, by the way, that man? Abu Umama. Remember his name? He is one of the good Sahaba that you can hear so many ahadith from him. So, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt sympathy upon him. You mean you lost all your businesses? He said, everybody is knocking at the door. He wants money, money. He said, no problem. I'll give you a prescription. If you do it daily, Allah will bring you business. Then you pay everybody. And then you pay also charity and sadaqah and zakah. You know, at that time they believe Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they act accordingly. Here Muslims, they come to you for family counseling. You tell them. Yes. And then, no. They go and then spread rumor against you. They accuse you because you did it free. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it free. They trusted him. They come to you. They want you to tell them. No, they want you to do what he wants you to do. I say, it's not you or she, it's what Allah wants in family counseling. So at any rate, he gave him the first part of this dua. And Abu Umama said, in 1 week, Allah got rid of my depression and all my duyun, and so on and so forth. Now here the dua that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Abu Umama is the first two sentences. It's composed of four things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. The first part, the first one. You know, ham means depression, and hazan means sorrows. And the second one, wa'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. Ajiz, incapacitated. Kasal, laziness. So you have to seek refuge in Allah, not to make us lazy. and not to be incapacitated. Believe me, the more you are with Allah, privately, secretly, you talk to Him at night, you will find that you are not incapacitated, you are not lazy. You will work day and night for the love of Allah. So you seek refuge. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ. جُبْن means جبان, coward. بخيل, miser. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ غَلَبَةِ الدَّيْنِ وَقَرَجَرِ means I seek refuge in you from too much loans on me, and people are asking their money, and the bank is asking, the insurance is asking, and you don't have it. And this up to here is the dua that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave it to Abu Umama. The second dua has been given from Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Ali ibn Abi Talib saw a friend of him in the city of Medina, also bankrupt. He said, did Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teach you anything? He said, yes. He gave him this one. Allahumma ikfini bihalalika an haramika wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwaka. Ya Allah, suffice me from halal, not from haram. $1 halal is better than 1,000,000 haram. Because there is a hadith says, kullu lahmin nabata min suhtin fannaru awla bih. Any flesh of yours has been nourished with haram, you have no way but to be burned in hell to purify that haram from your body. The rest of it is something else, also more dua about qabr. You know, all of us are going to go to the grave, and there is penalty in the grave. And I shouldn't go into that because it scares everybody. Are you ready now for the chapter? The family counseling on husband-wife relationship. Now, of course, this is for the wife now. Decorate yourself inside the house, not outside the house. Remember that your husband is overexposed to so many women in the street. You know it better than anyone else in America, how much your husband is under tension psychologically, socially, let me use also the right word, sexually, and he sees everything in a woman, especially medical doctors. So if he comes to the house and he doesn't see his wife being decorated, even the cosmetic and perfume and whatnot, and if you do not open the door for him, if he ring the bell and then he opened the door, hello? Are you at home? He sees you later on sitting at the TV and watching the TV. So what? Doesn't care. Or still in the kitchen and you smell biryani and garlic, onion and whatnot. So what? Instead of welcoming him, honey sweetheart, I was waiting and I was praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will send you, will make you to come safely minute by minute. And I so much. When he hears those sweet words coming from the lips of his wife, and she is the one who is welcoming, sometimes I go for a further step. You should agree among yourself in advance what time he is coming. So you prepare yourself, and you should open the door for him, and you should welcome him. This is my Huri'in. You know Huri'in? Many brothers are cheated. They read that ayah, Quran, Huri'in. Wallah, you have plenty of women in paradise. No, your wife is your Huri'in. My wife? I am fed up of her. She is too old for me. I want a Huri'in from Jannah, not from here. I said, you tell him, yes, I am your Jannah Huri'in. Sure, no way, I don't want that. Tell him what Allah says in the Quran, two places. هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئين. They and their wives in Jannah enjoying matrimonial. That one, not this one. No, tell him me. How come? Tell him what Allah says in the Quran. إنا أنشأناهن إن شاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين. We are going to resynthesize you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And the hadith says you are going to come at the age of 18 virgin. And you at the age of 25, the hadith says. The hadith says 25, it could be 30, it could be more. There are many hadiths, sometimes it says so many additions to give a flavor of it. So he said, إِنَّا شَأْنَهُ نَأَنْشَأْ فَجْعَلْنُهُ أَبْكَارًا. Abkara means virgin. عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا, young, similar ages. لِأَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ, for those who are getting their book in their right hand, go to Jannah. So what do you want? Now those Huri'in, the extra, are for those who never married, huh? There are so many who never married, then they will go and select from them. Which is true, it's very logical, you see. But people try to misunderstand the teaching of Allah. But whoever says, I'm fed up of my wife, she's fed up of you too. But you have to remember Allah is sending you wife for many reasons. To compliment you, because you are not mature enough or completed enough. You are half, and the other half is your wife. Is it not true, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us, An-nisa'u shaqa'iq al-rijal, a woman is the other half of the man. Which means you, man, you are incomplete. You cannot complete yourself unless your wife is with you. So like this, amen? None of them is complete by itself. So the two together have to be together. And no one should say, I'm the boss. Man, you are half. How can you be boss? You are half. You are not complete unless me, myself, with you. So we take this attitude. Here, keep smiling, decorate yourself. Of course, you see, three things a husband, when he comes home, what he wants. He wants his wife. Smiling, hugging, kissing, perfume, decorated, and he wants the food. There is a third one, whether you like it or not, huh? No. What? When he comes home, he wants three things. Food. When we say wife, means also not hugging, kissing, he wants sex. If you are not ready for that, he's under psychological pressure, moral pressure, sex pressure and whatnot, and therefore you have to release him from what he has seen outside.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
This is Voyager 2. Its journey will take it to the furthest reaches of our solar system to collect information to help scientists learn more about ourselves and the worlds beyond. Future scientists like little Miriam. You see, Miriam is learning that the search for knowledge never ends, and she's getting an early start on a journey that should last a lifetime. Seek knowledge. From the cradle to the grave. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
We're back with Dr. Ahmed Saqr, your host for the best lecture series.
The other thing is try to praise your husband for little things he does. Call him sweetheart. What? Sweetheart? I cannot. Oh, I feel ashamed. Maybe before we got, when we were engaged, but now you tell your husband every now. See, unfortunately, many of us Muslims, unfortunately, I don't know about non-Muslim, but many of us Muslims, we feel shy to tell our wife, Habibati. Or husband, Habibi, in front of anybody. What's wrong? You get credit from it, and that is the idea that crush his heart and stay in his brain and heart. My sweetheart is telling me, Habibi. Here in America, we can use sweetheart. You want to use the English word? Say, my sweetheart. Your husband is a sweetheart for you, and you are a sweetheart for him. And there is no shame to say it in public. No, in Muslim, no. Oh, would you kindly? I'm the boss. No, you have to tell her, would you kindly? If you don't tell her, would you kindly, why should she listen to you? Even if you have a servant in your custodian or whatever, cleaning janitorial, you have to tell him, please, can you do this? Do you want the result or you want to fight? The result is first smiling, third, how to talk to each other, husband, wife, to each other, in the most appealing to the inner heart, to catch her and keep her in your hand or in your heart as a sweetheart. Is it not true Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us in the Quran in many places that your wife has been created from you for you? Not your wife, he said your spouse. Means both of you. Your husband from you for you. You are from him for him. In Surah Rum, Allah says it very clearly. وَمِنْ آيَاتِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ من أنفسكم أزواج أن لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إلا في ذلك الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. Among the miracles of Allah in you that He created for you from you your own spouse, so as you can dwell in peace and tranquility. He created for you from you your own spouse. He didn't say for the husband or the wife. He said for both of you, which means your husband and your wife, you are from each other for each other. So as you can live in peace and tranquility. And you will never, ever live in peace and tranquility unless you get married. It's not easy. But we get married and we fight. I said, because you are not
doing what Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us how to treat each other. So in order to live in peace and tranquility, you have to get married, number one. But you will never live in peace and tranquility inside the house unless you have these two definitions or adjectives that Allah has said it in the Quran. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً. What is mawaddah? Is to talk to each other with a sweet tongue. Love, I love her. You have to tell her every day, honey, start, I love you. Sure. At the age of 40, 50, 60, you say to your wife, I love you. Well, what's wrong? Miss my wife, I love you. Habibati, can you do this? Well, there is no harm. This is mawadda. Mawadda, how to approach people with love, with affection, with sympathy and concern. If you don't tell your wife that one, well, I don't blame anybody except the brother who doesn't want to crush his ego to tell his wife, my sweetheart. Yes, you have no right to tell any lady, my sweetheart. No, none of them is a sweetheart. Respected sisters, yes. But your own wife is to tell her every day that, in order that she feels loving to you, still attached to you, and in her prayer she'll make special dua for you in your absence that you don't know. Mawadda. It says, رأس الحكمة مخافة الله. There is another hadith, رأس الحكمة بعد الإيمان بالله التودد إلى الناس. The climax of wisdom after believing in Allah is how to approach and talk to people. Mawadda, how to approach people in a very sweet tongue so as they can at least listen to you. So, mawadda, huh? Rahma, mercy. Shura. If we don't have these, why you are married? Sex? Are we animals have sex? You think that for the sake of intercourse, a husband and wife only live for the sake of intercourse? We are worse than animals. Now, when both of you are in trouble, don't call the police. Go and call Allah 111. When you make Salat al-Hajj after midnight, before Fajr, which we'll tell later about it, and cry to Allah, Allah will send you angels and send him angels. Angel to crush his ego and make a mistake in life in the same day, but don't curse him. It might come to you. Never ever curse anybody by telling you Allah, please send him to hell, please Allah send him a police, please, it will come to you. Because any time I make dua negatively against anybody, he or she may not deserve it according to Allah, it may be according to me. The dua goes there, evaluated, he says it's not acceptable, evaluated not. So it comes back on you. So don't curse anybody, say Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa'innahu la ya'lamun. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he curse anybody? Honest to God, you all together, you have read Islam as much as you want. Get me a single story that he cursed people. Even Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was reading Quran about Nuh alayhi salam who cursed his people. Yes or no, Nuh cursed his people. Musa cursed his people. And you know what happened to the people, Pharaoh. And even Isa alayhi salam in the Day of Judgment say, I have nothing to do with my people who refuse to accept me. Except Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cry when he read those verses in the Quran. He used to say, Ummati, Ummati, ila yawm al-qiyamah. My ummah till the Day of Judgment. I'm worried about anyone who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I am their defendant, I am their lawyer, I am their advocate till the Day of Judgment. So what I need from all of us is to prepare ourselves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we call 911 Allah to help us. And then make good surprise for him and you, also for her. Husband, make also good surprises for her. Teach each other indirectly. Don't say do this or do that. Or both of you, instead of asking each other do this, honey sweetheart, is it okay if I do this? It's difficult for you, husband, to say to your sweetheart, is it okay to do this? Is it okay? No way, you should go. Well, like the moment you tell her you should do it, you lost her respect in her heart. Maybe she shows it publicly, but in her heart, no respect. But when you say, honey, sweetheart, is it okay, I will do this? Well, she loves you more and more. You are asking, say yes, I'm half, you are the half. When you talk that language to each other, husband and wife, you feel really stuck to each other intimately to the Day of Judgment. Inform both of you, husband should never say to his wife, don't ask me where I go. He leaves the house after dinner. Where are you going? It's not your business. No, you have to tell her where you are going. And even when you are out, there is no harm taking the phone and call her and make sure. And especially if you are out of town. Huh? This is, I was given by force only last week or so. Although I can use public telephone, you know. But still, they want me wherever I go, call. And this is what I call. I call usually without this one from the airport. Every place I go to public telephone. But now at least I have one. Not only I tell them if everything okay, I want to make sure that they are okay. When your husband call your wife on a regular basis, twice, three times a day, it's worth it. It's nothing. Everything they tell you is okay, okay, okay. No, I'm concerned about you. Especially in America, your husband should be more concerned for your wife and children than anywhere else in the world. No, anything can happen. Fire can take place on the... Or car accident might happen. And so many things might happen in America. Therefore, one has to be in touch with his family on a regular basis. And then the family will feel happy, mashallah. He's concerned about me. The other thing is, now both of you, I usually say it, the family that pray together, America, the family that eat together, say together. I said, no, the family that pray together, huh? Eat together, go to the masjid together, and make Umrah and Hajj together, and come here together, they stay together. You know what I'm saying? It helps tremendously when both husband and wife come to the masjid, hearing the same lecture. Many times they send the wife to the masjid and he goes somewhere else. And you understand, or the reverse may happen, but majority go to any masjid, you see the masjid is full with sisters and the brothers are not there. I know enough. What do you know? You know nothing. Now like this, I mean, whatever we are. Now you and your husband, you go home at least on the same level, you discuss both things, you try to correct each other, correct me, whatnot. But when you go, he will say, what? H-E-L-L with Ahmad Sakar, don't attend to him in the future. He confused you, he agitated you, he made you enemy to me, all these things. Oh, see, because he did not. I'm not saying you personally, don't misunderstand, I respect you. The same thing, anyone who came without his wife, or wife come without her husband, this is what's going to happen. Break in the mentality, in the approach, in the understanding. And even you wives, you go and tell your husband all the nice things, say, you understand better than me, I'm your husband, I know better than the whole muftis of the whole world. Type, what should I say? You know, listen to me what I say to her. Please tell him, I tried to reach Ahmad Sakar to talk to him, he refused to talk to me. Why? Ahmad Sakar doesn't talk to women without their husband, without their mahram. See how psychology, we play it on him. So please, honey, sweetheart, because you are two men on me. And since he doesn't want to talk to me without you, why don't? He says, no. Okay, no, I will not. I have so many cases like this. Okay, I say, okay. He will tell her, okay, give him appointment. He will ask her, go and take appointment from him. She comes and she says, appointment. When do you want to give us appointment? I say, go back to him. Say, Ahmad Sakar doesn't give appointment to ladies. Tell him like this. This is the psychology that you really hit his heart, his mind, to crush his ego, to come and talk man to man. I say, tell him Ahmad Sakar does not give appointment through ladies or to ladies. The husband has to talk to me and he has to make appointment for you with me. In this way, we play reverse psychology. And she might have talked to me half an hour. Never ever say that you have talked to me all this information. And even if we come and sit three together, I pretend I know nothing, blank. And you pretend, don't talk. Keep silent all the time. Let him talk as much as he wants. We pretend I know nothing. In order to absorb him. Because if I'm going to charge him, she told me, wallah, he goes and fight with her. Whether he's Muslim or not Muslim, whether he's praying or not praying, he will do this, unfortunately, to his wife. So this part of the, we'll come to it, how to handle the reverse psychology with crazy husbands. Don't worry, brothers. I say crazy husbands, so don't worry. Because I have 90% of the crises are men. Very few cases are women. And I have seen some of the crises from women worse than men. We can share some of these later on. Now, this idea of being imam. Dr. Muzaffar, don't you have boys in your family? If they are living in your house, what you should do, what I do, I tell one son, you give adhan. The other son, I say, give iqama. The third one, I say, be our imam. It's not enough that I, as a father, be imam, as a role model to my wife and children. I want my children to feel what does it mean to be imam. Do you see, when you give prestige to your son that he is your leader now, father, be back. Me, frontliner. I say Allahu Akbar, you follow me. You cannot supersede me. When you teach this to the children, to give them that sense of leadership in the family, means the father is not a dictatorship as we hear it. He's like one of us. When the son is going to feel giving adhan inside the house, then in the masjid he can give it easily. Many of them give adhan inside the house, but they are scared to give it in the masjid. Well, they have no courage because you did not encourage them. And in order to make your children leaders in the community, you have to test them inside the house before you give them that. Many times, people who visit us at home, we have an unwritten policy. Whoever visits us in our house, you have to be our imam. Whether you like it or not, Dr. Muzaffar. Since I know you much more than anyone else and longer than, I hope nobody feels bad about it. But I'm saying I can quote any number of them. I have seen people in Chicago and in L.A., when they come and pray, they don't know how to read the Quran. They make mistakes in Fatiha. They eat some of it. And they don't know how many rak'ah. Is it 3 rak'ah Maghrib or 2 rak'ah? Is Zuhr loud or silent? Is Zuhr 4 rak'ah or 2? A good number of fathers. I ask myself, don't you know how to pray? Haven't you led the salat for your family? No. Somebody in Chicago, he said, never I led salat with my family and children. What? How your children are going to be raised as Muslims in the house when you never led salat with your wife and children? How do you want your children and your wife to look at you as a role model when you are not a leader to your community, except a dictator like Saddam Hussein?
You are listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr. We will be back after this short break.
Do you enjoy IBN's programs? Do you think it's important for us to be on the air? Support IBN by making a pledge today, $1 a day, to the Islamic Media Foundation. Help IBN programs to continue by making your monthly contribution today. Pledge $1 a day online at www.ibn.net. Or call us to pledge over the phone at 703-241-9659. Help us continue to be your voice, the voice of American Muslims.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series with Dr. Ahmed Sakr.
The idea is that we have to be and request is to be with the children, both of you. Most of our husbands, unfortunately, they don't play, they don't even be with the children. You take care of children, not me. He has to help you. Is it not true Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to help his wife? His wife Khadija brought all the money. He didn't marry her because of money. Because Allah wants him to marry that girl, that lady, in order that she will release him from the responsibility of earning the money in order to make the da'wah. How many of us sisters will tell your husband, we don't need more money, we can earn still little by little, I want you to go and be da'wah. How many will do this? Khadija did it, you see. She told him, devote your time for da'wah, don't worry about money and whatnot. But he helped her. Inside the house, your husband, he has to help you as much as you help. It's a complementary situation. Financial on one side, love on the other side, house activities on the other side, children on the other side. It's a complementary activity. Is it not true the girls are being crushed in the house to do all the house activity while the boys are roaming around, playing around and whatnot? Oh, that's the worst thing that the mothers have done with their boys. I mean, may Allah bless my mother. She kept me at home, doing all the house activities like a girl. And you know, in the old country, in my age, when we are children, we have no electricity. We have no, what you call it, I mean, dishwasher and laundry and refrigerator. We had to do all the laundry with our hand, huh? and the dishwasher with our hand, and the house cleaning, everything with our hand. Even the bread, we have to take the wheat and do all the dough and then bake it in our hand. All the beds and everything we have in our hand. And we have to do everything like this, like a girl inside the house. But alhamdulillah, I know how to handle myself by myself. And now, alhamdulillah, I don't brag about it. Anytime we are in the at home, I go to the kitchen, help her, bring to the table, put the food, and then when finished, put back in the kitchen and whatnot. And I feel happy. In the masjid, I go and then clean the toilets. I don't mind. I do vacuuming. I do everything. I do it because I love Allah. I want the house of Allah to be clean, spick and span. When it is not smell, I spray it. Something of that nature. Now go to the masjid, honest to God. You want to know whether a Muslim is clean or not in the house? Don't sit in the living room or family room. Go to the kitchen and the toilet and see whether they are clean or not. What is it? They tell you when you go to a Muslim family, don't go to the kitchen and don't go to the toilet. But if you want to allow your daughter or your son to marry from that family, go to those two places, to the kitchen and to the toilet, and see whether they deserve, you deserve your daughter to marry such a son from such a family. Because these are the two places of cleanliness. But in the masjid, we don't know how to do cleaning. The don'ts, same both of us, never complain both to each other. Means you, husband, when you come home, don't complain to your wife, how come the house is not clean? What did you do today? You didn't do anything. What did you, even if you are housewife, I'm not working, huh? Nothing. Now she's doing dishwashing. She's doing the laundry. She was ironing. She was vacuuming. It doesn't, you don't see these. She was maintaining the bed properly. You don't see these. And she was in the kitchen cooking. You don't see these. What did you do? Doing nothing, huh? I don't know why this crazy husband had that attitude toward their wife by complaining very harshly. Instead of coming and even see something wrong, don't tell her wrong. You can do it yourself. She will feel happy that you are complimenting her in fixing the home. And when there are the children, go and then live with them, hug them, kiss them, play with them. No, no. If you have grandchildren, play with them. Believe me, you will find yourself more attached to grandchildren than to your own children. It's a well-known proverb in the whole world, especially among Muslims, that you are going to love your grandchildren much more than your own children. You know, I don't know why. It's a human psychology whereby the best life to live longer when you see the whole life cycle has turned into your hand. As a baby yourself, teenager, got married, have children, your children got married, have children, now the life cycle is complete for you. Then you feel happy. But to be great-grandchildren, a great-grandfather, is the utmost that really, sometimes we have people in the Muslim world, they have seen great-grandchildren. But, alhamdulillah. Now the same thing, never shout, never yell to each other, never compare her or him with others. And both of you, don't say. The only trouble of comparing, he says to her, wallah, your food is not as good as my mother's food. Or go to your mother back. Who told you I'm comparing my food with your mother's food? Or bring my mother, which is your mother-in-law, to live with us. My mother has prepared food for years and years. Me, young girl, and getting married to you, I'm learning how to fix the food. You tell me it's not as delicious as my mother, so what can I do? So even if it is not as delicious, why don't you one day prepare the food for her and show her what a delicious food is? Maybe she will tell you also the same thing is not delicious for me. It's the same thing, a human nature. Never call each other with your first name without adding that word of sweetheart. But up to you, I don't know. I mean, I have said it to so many, but people tell me it's too much for us to say. I said, well, if it is for your own wife, it's difficult to say habibati. In the Arab, we say not only habibati, muhjata qalbi. What is muhjata qalbi? It's not only closer to the heart, also qalb is heart. Muhja is the real heart. Without that, my heart is crushed into pieces. Yani, my heart is not going to be flourish without you. I'll be depressed the rest of my life if you, my wife, is not part of my inner heart. Muhja is the inner heart. You are part of my inner heart. Wallah, when my wife hears that from her husband, she loves him so much, Now, the idea of spending too much money, either husband or wife, spend too much money, unfortunately. And at least I have seen a case whereby the wives were telling their husband are still graduate student at the university with scholarship, sweetheart, today I saved you lots of money. You know, in the grocery store, it was a 10% discount. In the department store, 25%. So whatever we spend, we saved you 25%. But he told her, you are spending the money. She said, no, I saved you 25%, but you spend it. So try to not to spend too much on clothing. I know a large number of sisters and brothers, for every week they have to have different clothing. Or for every visit, tomorrow you'll come with different clothing. Why? Oh, they saw me with this dress tomorrow. In the morning you wear one dress, in the afternoon another. Why? People don't care what dress you have. Whether it is the same dress or different dress, who cares for it? No, I want to make sure that people will not tell me how come I have only one dress. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The early Muslims, Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, you know what he said? He was appointed by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the chief of 70 of them. They're called Ahl al-Suffa. You know Ahl al-Suffa? These are 70 men who were devoting their life and they quit their businesses and they want to be da'iyah, to make the da'wah. They stayed at the door of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he comes out of the house, they are the first one to receive the revelation. Ahl as-Suffa, the people of Suffa. Now, how many of you made Umrah or Hajj? You know the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which now is a grave. From the north side, there is a passage for people to go back and forth. At the higher level, that is the place where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get out of it, high. And then you go down and then pass. People were sitting on the other side, 70 of them waiting. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Abu Huraira to be the chief supervising them. They were business people, they quit. They have no food, no money, no clothing. You know what Abu Huraira used to say? He looked at everyone, 70 of them, 70, huh? He said, none of us had a long clothing. All of us have short one. Either we have to sit like this and hide our legs from being exposed, or we stand up and bring the thawb a little bit down, our chest is shown. We are too poor to buy a second cloth or a long one. Only one and short. They were business people. They quit. They didn't want anything. See how much Allah is rewarding Abu Huraira and his people. Suffa, radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anhu. The other one, another Sahabi used to say, listen brothers and sisters, husband, wife. He used to say, they didn't want anything of this life. Only one thawb. You know thawb? Kurta? One thawb for me and for my wife. Whenever you want to go out, you wear it. When she wants to go out, you sit at home, she wears it. How many of you are ready to do like this? None of us. Go today to your closets and see how many dresses you have, and how many jackets or suits you have, and how many shoes you have, and how many scarf you have, and how many. And still you are not satisfied. And every time you want to come with a different clothing. And many Muslims are dying out of hunger, here or abroad. And we have now orphan Muslims in America where husband died for one reason or the other, and the children are left behind, and the widows are crying. And I have a good number of them in our neighborhood, but who wants to help? You think you are happy, rich, and everything, you think everybody is like you. But when you come and see the misery of others, I didn't know there are Muslims. Many times Muslims tell me, is there any needy Muslims in America? I said, of course we have. They never saw it because they are not in the field of da'wah or the field of family counseling or otherwise. And therefore they think they are in their palaces. The other thing, that same thing, sometimes it happens that wives hide money. You know why? They steal money from husband and hide it. You know why? Because he is stingy and a miser. He doesn't want, so she has to do this. I don't blame her. But it's haram, it's haram, it's haram, haram. Both are haram. You see, the moment you start be stingy on your wife, she has to save her life in the future. If you give everything in her name, khalas, you save everything for you. Give the account for your wife and tell your wife, take care of everything. I don't care for my all the money that comes into the house or in the bank or whatnot, in your you are handling. I'm not responsible for the financial situation of the family. You are responsible. Leave me alone for something else. You live peacefully, but tell her, please, don't bankrupt us and put us in bankruptcy. You are responsible for everything. If any problem, let me know. Let me be kept busy in the dawah, and you take care of that. It's not easy for any husband to do this. Huh? But believe me, if you reach that level and you tell your Rabb, believe me, she will save every penny for you. She will make sure that nothing will be away. But if you do otherwise, you are in trouble. Now, the other thing that since we are talking husband-wife, later on we'll talk about the in-laws, but you have to make sure if anyone of your family, father, mother is alive, you are responsible to encourage her to send money from your pocket, not her pocket, from your budget, not from her budget, and even from her budget to her mother and father. And don't tell him not to send to his father and mother. And both of you have to help your in-laws, since we are in the family husband-wife now. But even, you see, the more you help your in-laws financially, the better off. Even they are multimillionaire. Send them a gift from here to Pakistan, to India, to Egypt, or to anywhere else, even $50 or $100, they'll love it very much. They'll make dua for you that Allah will bless you. But to be stingy, she is going to steal from you, and you are going to hide from her, and you find out when Israel comes to us, we lost everything. So the idea of helping each other. Now the other thing, we'll talk later about in-laws. Not every mother-in-law is a troublemaker. Some of them are troubleshooters. You know the difference. I mean, some of them really are troubleshooters. When you are in trouble, they help you. But others are troublemakers. We'll talk later with the in-laws. Now, if anybody makes a mistake, or never tell him he should cook or clean the house, neither one should say to the other. Both of you work together as Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Never argue or point his or her mistake. You know, unfortunately, many of us husbands, egoistic, plus dictatorship, I don't know why. And therefore, if you try to argue about his or her mistake, everybody is going to argue. You are more educated than your husband, supposedly. Even that, if you are going to show him that I am better in a way, or I'm more educated than you because I'm an MD, you are an engineer, you lost him. Husband-wife relationship is not the degrees, not the knowledge that you know, not the age even. Huh? Even if your husband is older or younger, even if he's younger, he's not going to accept from you anything that you are going to accuse him with, that he's less than you. If you want to earn him, boast his ego. Even if he's less than you, boast his ego. Tell him, without you, honey, sweetheart, I'm nothing. It's a sentence. Are you losing if you tell him like this? No. Tell him, I'm very grateful to Allah that Allah sent me you as a husband to me. Even if he's bad, he's going to improve little by little. Deep in his heart, when he goes by himself, if he has 1% sense of respect to himself, he said, if my wife is telling all this about me, I should be grateful to Allah I have that such a wife. And he will improve his relationship with his wife. But to argue, no. To find mistakes, no. Even if she makes mistake, don't tell her, how could you dare to make such a mistake? Her ego, her shaitan will come to her at that moment. That is the loophole of shaitan. Loophole of shaitan, he's waiting for a moment that you hear from him or he hears from you a sentence. Shaitan will come to her, see what she said, see what he said, and then you start fighting among yourself. Never lecture to each other. Even you know better. Tell him, you know, I took this course. I'm a psychologist. You are what? You are an engineer. I want to teach you psychology. You lose him completely. Even your son, if you tell him, I'm a psychologist, I want to teach you what is psychology. He tell you, mom, you want to teach me psychology? Go and teach it somewhere else, not to me. Even your sons and daughters will tell you that. And therefore, the other thing, never, ever, ever talk to each other with logic. Yeah, you're educated and he's educated, yes or no? I said, husband, wife, family, relation, no logic. Would you know what is logic? If you use the idea of 1 + 1 to each other, husband, wife, is equal to 2? 0. Never ever talk to each other, a family, except the concept of love and affection, sympathy, concern, and shura. Honey, sweetheart, is it okay to do this? Is it not okay to do this? But to say, he made a mistake. You tell him, don't you know this is a mistake and this is not true? his shaitan loophole come to him to harass you. Don't you know I know better than you? He shout. It's not he. His shaitan is shouting at you. So never ever talk logic, even if he's wrong. Don't tell him you are wrong. Then shaitan comes and harasses you. So 1 + 1 can be equal to 3, 4, 500, 100. Who cares? You think if he's out of his mind, you think if he's out of his mind, your whole world is going to worry about his mistake? No one. The only one to worry you. And there you are to correct him. His shaitan comes to you to harass you. So you are in trouble. So let him talk illogical 1 hour, 2 hours. Who cares? Put it in the garbage without telling him. Means all what you are saying, nonsense, in the garbage, I don't care. But don't tell him I don't care, I'm in the garbage, you'll be in trouble. I mean, let him talk nonsense. Yes. You so what? Is it not true, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us for family ties and relationship, there is no harm to lie to each other in order to keep them together? Because shaitan comes to you, what can I do? Who told you to allow shaitan to enter to your house? I said, shaitan, enter your house, as I said 1 hour ago or half hour ago. Either we don't pray 5 times a day, or we don't read Quran, and we don't read those surah Ayatul Kursi and the others and the other. And when we enter, we didn't say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. And when we enter the house, we did not say, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, to the angels who are taking care of my house. And all the good things I'm not practicing, so shaitan is inside my house. So it's not, there is no harm of lying to your husband, or the husband to the wife, in order to keep peace for the time being. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us that permission, because in order to make family counseling and arbitration and reconciliation and whatnot, there is no harm at that moment only. But it's up to you. I mean, my love for you is never talk to each other with logic unless you are doing something else. And even logic to logic sometimes work, but sometimes doesn't work. So suppose I said 2 minus 2, you said equal 0. No. Suppose there was an argument between you and your husband, and then later on you told him, I forgive you. And he said, I forgive you. You think after a week or two or a month, he will not come and tell you, remind you of that mistake? Don't you remember last year you said this and this? Johannes, sweetheart, didn't we say, I'm sorry? And you said, I forgive you. Why in the world you are bringing it again and again? Because 2 minus 2 will never ever be 0. There is precipitate. And shaitan will come and pick it up after a year and remind him to remind you to harass you and harass him both at the same time, and he bring it later. So 2 minus 2 may not equal to 0 at all through our life history. But if shaitan bring it back, don't you have a shock absorbance? Say yes. I'm sorry. Say again, I'm sorry. So what? I will say to you, I'm sorry. But man, to say sorry to sister? Huh? Not only to wife, even to a sister in the street, in the community? Yes, you have to crush yourself, and I have to crush yourself. I have to tell you, sister, I'm sorry. Would you kindly forgive me? In public. Everyone has to crush his ego in public and say, I'm sorry to the sisters if I have said anything to you. It's up to you if you want to forgive me or not. If you forgive me, you get credit. If you don't forgive me, and you make mistake, you go to Allah, Allah will tell you, I will not forgive you. Why? So because you did not forgive Dr. Sokka. One for one. Go and forgive him, I'll forgive you. See, in this way I try to help myself and help everybody. Both parties have to be humble and crush their ego in front of Allah subhanahu. Let's make dua. After every session we should make dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.